in chapter 5 for just a few minutes tonight. If you want to look at that with me in Revelation chapter 5, and I want you to notice this is the account of John looking into heaven and seeing no one worthy to open the book or to loose the seals. They looked in heaven, earth, and under. No place could they find anybody but then. But then. One of the elders said, "Weep not. There was someone who was worthy." Amen. There was someone who was worthy. Verse 9 said, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Would you pray? Father, thank you for your word. I pray now that you would touch it to the hearts and to the lives of your people. Minister through the Holy Ghost and through the precious Word of God to this congregation, to the needs that they have. Anoint their ears to hear, their hearts to receive. Anoint your servant to preach. May the will of God be accomplished in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. They sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy." And in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." The song of heaven is about the worthiness of the Son of God who has redeemed us by His own blood. Hallelujah. I just want to preach tonight about worthy things. Hallelujah. Oh, and I want to say, first of all, the most worthy thing in all of the universe that I could say tonight is that is Jesus. I think you'll agree with me on that, won't you? And I want to say tonight that we have a Savior worth serving. I believe it tonight. Now, the Apostle Paul believed it. Now, I know at one time he persecuted the church. I know at one time he was injurious to the church. I know that he caused a lot of people to be put in prison. I know he was consenting to the death of some of the saints, Stephen in particular. Amen. And but I want you to know, after his conversion, and he met this one that was worthy, he gave it all that he had because he believed that Jesus Christ was worth serving, even though he knew from the onset of his ministry that he was going to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he was told that. He was told from the beginning of his conversion that he was going, "How great things thou must suffer for my name's sake." Hallelujah. Oh, and he did. I mean, they put him in jail at Philippi, didn't they? They chased him out of Thessalonica. They stoned him at Lystra and left him for dead. They smuggled him out of Berea so he wouldn't get torn apart. Amen. They laughed at him in Athens. He went and preached to corrupt Corinth. And there his message was foolishness to the Greek and a stumbling block to the Jew. But he preached on and he labored on. Amen. Because he believed that it was worthwhile. And let's take a summary of it. Was it worth it? Was it worthwhile for him all that he went through? I know he was jailed in Philippi, but look what happened. Devils were cast out. Amen. The jailer got saved and his household had a midnight baptizing. A church was established. I believe it was worth it, don't you? Hallelujah. Amen. Right.
They may have chased him out of Thessalonica, and they may have smuggled him out of Berea. But I want to tell you tonight that he established churches throughout Asia and Europe. Praise God. Amen. Oh yes, they may have laughed at him. They may have made fun of him. They may have stoned him and left him for dead. But he just had an experience that he was caught up into the third heaven, saw things he couldn't write about. Amen. Oh, he would tell you that it was all worthwhile. Amen. Even corrupt Corinth, amen, had a church, praise God, with two letters written unto it. At the end of it all, Paul was beheaded, so history tells us. What do you think about it, Paul? Was it worthwhile? Amen. I can see Paul as he's being led by the Roman soldiers to Nero's chopping block. I see him break loose from the soldiers. He's not running away. He's running right straight for the chopping block, laying his head on it. Amen. Why? Because he says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'd like to have got out of here a long time ago, but it was better for you that I stayed. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, he didn't see a chopping block. He saw a crown of righteousness laid up for him, and not for him only, but to all you that love the appearing of the Lord. Isn't that right? Amen. Would you help me preach? I want to tell you that Jesus is worth serving. There's never been a man like Jesus. Didn't Sister Sue Cole write that? Maybe when she was Sue Cox. Amen. But there's never been a man like Jesus. Never been a man like Jesus. Never been a man like Jesus. There's never been a man like the Son of God. Hallelujah. He began his ministry hungering, and he ended his ministry thirsting. Yes, he began it hungering, fasting for 40 days, but he's the bread of life, praise God. He ended his ministry on a cross, crying, "I thirst," but I tell you, he is the fountain of living waters, amen, that all can take a drink of and never, ever thirst again. The woman of Samaria could tell and testify to that. I want to tell you, I can testify to that. I've never thirsted again since that night that I met the living waters. Hallelujah. He may have been sold for 30 pieces of silver, but I tell you, he redeemed the world. Yes, he did. He may have hung in darkness, but in the midst of the darkness, he was the light of the world. Praise God. Yes, he still is. I said he still is the light of the world. Amen. Though he was the life, yet he tasted death for every man. Hallelujah. Can I tell you tonight, to those who like sheep have gone astray, I say he's the way. I said he's the way. Praise God. Yes, he is. For those in other religions who have found only false hopes and false claims, I say he's the truth. Praise God. Yes, he is. For those that are dead in trespasses and sin, I say he's the life. He said it. The words came from his own mouth. John recorded it. Chapter 14 and verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's worth serving. I believe he's the chief among 10,000. I believe he's the altogether lovely one. Don't you? I believe he's the bright and the morning star. Praise God. Oh, yes, I believe it. I mean, you can't preach Jesus and preach it out. There's too much to preach. He's too big. You can't cover the subject. You can preach tonight and tomorrow night and Saturday and Friday and every other day of the week and preach a month, and you can't preach Jesus enough. Hallelujah. Oh, the image of the invisible God. Yet his visage was so marred, more than any man's. But I tell you what, I love him tonight, and he's worth serving, and I'm going to serve him, and I'm going to live for him. Hallelujah. Because I love him. You can ask in his name and it will be given to you. You can seek in his name and you will find. Go ahead and knock in that name above every other name, and He will open. Talk about the windows, Brother Art. God bless you. Good to see you. Hallelujah. Amen. Talk about the windows. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Praise God. Oh, yes. Amen. He is worth serving. Amen. He is Jesus to save. He is Christ to anoint. He is Lord to govern. He's shepherd to tend. I think some black preacher said something like that. Amen. And it come to my mind, so I just repeated it. Praise God. I believe every bit of it. Praise God. I tell you, He's worth serving tonight. Blind men He gave sight. Deaf men He gave hearing. Dumb men He gave back their tongue to speak. Amen. Crippled He made straight. I tell you, He even caused a few to come up out of the grave. He's worth serving. He's worth serving. We've got a Savior tonight that's worth serving. But I want to tell you, I must hurry. I want to tell you that tonight we've got not only a Savior that's worth serving, but can I tell you in just a few moments of time that we've got a Bible tonight that's worth believing. Does anybody believe the Bible? Do you believe the Word of God is true? Amen. Thank God for His Word. Hallelujah. For the Bible. What is the Bible? Well, the Imperial Dictionary gives us this definition. The Bible is the sacred scriptures of the Old and New Testaments as received by the Christian church as a divine revelation. I believe it. I said I believe it. Hallelujah. You said you did, didn't you? Do you believe the Bible is worth believing? I tell you, you can count on it. Amen. That's right. Praise God, Sister Coffee. You said that Brother Collins said your time's coming and you held on to it. You know what that was? That was the Word. The prophesied Word. I mean to tell you, a man of God gets under the influence and anointing of the Holy Ghost and he says things he don't even himself know and realize what he is saying. But it's a prophetic Word. The Almighty God. Hallelujah. Amen. Accept it. Believe it. Hang on to it. It shall come to pass. Well, I almost now feel like shouting. Hallelujah. Why? Because I believe God's book, the Bible, that's why. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All Scripture. It wasn't a bunch of men writing down what they wanted to write. Amen. It didn't come together that way. Holy men spake. And I know that was the prophets. But I want you to know God breathed on His men. And they wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It isn't always a bless. Sometimes it's a blister. The Word of God doesn't always lift us up out of our seats and cause us to shout. Sometimes the Word of God causes us to cry and come to the altar and repent. Now I know a lot of big time preachers. I'm talking about big, big time. Millionaire time. It's always a good word. It's always a God's going to do something good for you today. But sometimes the Word of God. The Word of God. What is the Word of God? All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For what? Did you say reproof? Paul said it to Timothy. Reproof. Correction. Doctrine. Instruction in righteousness. Didn't hear one thing about blessing in all of that. Hallelujah. Of course it does bless, but it'll come right back by and blister. It's a two-edged sword that cuts both directions. Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe it. I mean, when it cuts me deep, I believe it. Praise God. And I run to the altar. Glory to God. And I get it all right with Him. Praise God. Because I believe His Word. Amen. Oh, this is God's book. Amen. And what does it do? It breathes life into the spirit. It breathes love into the soul. Amen. It is a living Word. It is alive. It is sharp. It's quick. It's powerful. That word quick means alive. Brother, this isn't a dead book. Amen. This isn't a dead gospel. This isn't a dead Bible. It's alive. I said it's alive. It's so alive that when a man preaches, it can bring a revival to boneyard. Amen. To a graveyard. To dead, dry. Amen. Very dry bones. And they can become an army for God. When the Word of God goes forth, I believe it tonight. I believe it tonight.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so we've got a Bible that's worth believing. It will not fail. It will never pass away. It is forever settled in heaven. It's a holy word that'll sanctify you. It is. It's a living word that will cause you to bring forth fruit. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. And it's a powerful word that will electrify you. I want to tell you something. There's something wrong with your experience. And I say this without reservation. There is something wrong with your experience with God. If the Word of God never does anything for you. Praise God for singing. I love it. I wish I could sing. I mean, if I could sing like some folks, amen, praise God, I'd sing the house down, but I'm just not, that's just not me. Once in a great blue moon, how often that is, amen, God helps me, and somebody gets blessed, but I'm just not a singer, but I love it, and I enjoy when people like Sister Ard and Sister Coffee and those that can sing get up and say, I love it. Thank God for the power of His Spirit that moves in singing. Sister Linda started singing Shackled by a Heavy Burden, and He, or whatever that was you sung, He touched me. Praise God, and I just felt God. Amen. I just felt God. Praise God. Thank God for it. But I want to tell you, there's something about the Word of God that gets, when Brother Collins begins to preach and the Word of God and doctrine comes forth, I tell you, sometimes I just can't hardly stay on my seat. It does something for me and to me. It's a powerful word. I believe it. I believe it. It's the foundation on which we build. You better build on it. Hallelujah. It's the teaching by which we're instructed, the guidepost by which we walk. It's the bread by which we're nourished. It's the staff on which we lean. And brother and sister, it's still the standard by which we live. It's the Word. And it's worth believing. And if you believe it, you will see the results in your life. We've got a Savior worth serving. We've got a Bible worth believing. And I believe that we've got a church that's worth reviving. Hallelujah. Now, it's a little hard to preach that here at the highway because seem like this kind of a revival or camp meeting atmosphere most of the time. But in the midst of all of it, there are individuals who sit out there, amen, who are growing cold in their experience and waxing cold because of the love of the world. Amen. And oh, brother, but I tell you, the church is worth reviving. You as part of that church, you as a part of the true church, are worth reviving. I tell you, you are. Everybody's important to God. You're important to this church. Hear me tonight. You are important to this church. You may never stand up here and sing a song. You may never collect an offering. Amen. You may never play one of these instruments. Hey, oh, you might not even ever take prayer requests. But you're important to this church and you're worth reviving. I just feel like telling somebody, you're needed. You're somebody special. The church needs you. You're worth reviving. Get in an altar. Get a hold of God. Quit letting the devil tell you you don't amount to nothing and you don't mean anything. You are important. You are. You are, Sister Karenita. Brother Maul, you got saved since I went to Alabama. But you're in Poag. I'm so glad to see you when I come home. Hallelujah. You're important, brother. So good to see you keep coming to the house of God. I tell you, we got a church worth reviving. Amen. We need to do like, we just need to cry like the psalmist. I think it's 85 and 6, isn't it? Where he said, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Hallelujah. Why does the church need revival? The church needs revival so that they can rejoice in the Lord their God. Hallelujah. If my people, what a revival text, has there ever been a greater revival text in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. I tell you, we've got a church that's worth reviving tonight. If I was in revival, I'd just take my time and stay there a while. But I'm not. And it's getting late. So I close with this. We've got a future worth living. We've got a future worth living. Well, I'll tell you, if you just ask me, I don't know if you will or not, but if you'll just ask me, I'll tell you we got a future worth living right now, in the here and now. I believe it's worth living for God right now. Right now, I've got a future worth living. Amen? I mean, I may die in an automobile accident as many miles as I'm on the road. That's possible. But I want to tell you, I won't ever die drunk. I won't ever run into somebody because I was drunk. I got a future worth living. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise God. I mean, I enjoy living for God right now. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I wouldn't trade with anybody. I'm glad I'm saved. I got a future right now worth living. But I hear the apostle say that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. I want to tell you, we got a future worth living. I read a little bit about it, and I'm not going to take a, you can come to the piano, get ready to give us a song. I've preached long enough, but I just want to tell you, we got a future worth living, and I read just a little bit about it. I like what I heard Gary Hampton say years and years and years ago, for probably first time ever, one of the first times I ever heard him preach down at Allentown or somewhere, maybe it's in Georgia. I believe it's at Broxton Camp Meeting, one of the first years they had it at Broxton. I heard Gary, and I've never forgotten it. Gary Hampton said there's no, of course we know he was there, but Gary Hampton said there's no mention of the devil in the first two chapters of the Bible. And there's no mention of the devil in the last two chapters of the Bible. Hallelujah. You know what? Have you got a sneak preview? Have you turned over and read the last two chapters? Have you noticed there's no mention of a devil there? He's done been taken care of. We got a future worth living. Did you read about it? Did you read about it? Beginning at chapter 21. Did you read about it? Did you read about that new city? Amen. That holy city. New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. Did you read about the future that we've got as children of God? Did you read the fourth verse? Did you read what it said? And God, have you had sorrow here? Have you had heartaches and disappointments here? Have you had things tear your heart out here, Brother Ard? Did you read about your future when God is going to take the great handkerchief of His love and God Himself shall wipe all tears from our eyes? Hallelujah! Praise God! And what else did He say in that verse? Can somebody help me? He said He was going to wipe away our tears, didn't He? And what else? But you know what? Neither shall there be what? Didn't you read it? There's no more what? Death! You got a future worth living. We're going to a place. The sod will never be cut if there is any sod. Actually, it's gold. Hallelujah. But anyway, it'll never be cut for another grave because nobody dies. Well. I read about a future where all undertakers are put out of business because nobody dies. I read about a place where there'll be no more hospitals because nobody gets sick. Death, nor crying, nor sorrow, for the former things are passed away. Hallelujah. There shall be no more sea. Praise God. Nevertheless, we, according, you said just enough to bring the scripture to my mind right then, Brother Collins. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. How righteous? So righteous that on the pots and pans and horses' bridles shall be written, holiness unto the Lord. Hallelujah! Praise God! I know there's a bunch of honky-tonks now, but wait till we take over. What about the future I read about? We'll put every one of them out of business.